Good afternoon, everybody.
Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Michael Collins with Journey to Success Radio. Hope everybody is having a beautiful day. Today we have a guest, Dr. Ali, who's going to talk about the prevention of cancer through self-love. And let me just give you a little background about myself. I'm an author and inspirational speaker. I've just completed the book, Ushering in the Golden Age, Elevate Your Consciousness. And that can be found at my website, michaelrobincollins.com, or it can also be found at usheringinthegoldenage.com. Good afternoon, Jacqueline. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you today?
Great.
Great. Thank you so much for inviting me, and I'm really honored to be a part of this program.
Great. Thank you. And I know that you're doing, the work that you're doing is a great service, so I know people are going to get a lot of information, a lot of helpful information out of our hour talk. So Dr. Ali, why don't you give the audience a little background about your naturopathic studies and what you are motivated to do?
My focus for practice is energy medicine, and sometimes people get kind of freaked out about energy medicine, and that's, you know, really kind of woo-woo stuff. But in essence, it's really focusing more on the healing part of ourselves, which is energy, and giving it the tools that are needed so that a person's body can do the healing that it needs to on our own. Just like when we cut our finger or we have some type of bruise or injury, our body automatically goes into a healing mode through our own internal healing energies. And it's giving the body those tools so that it can maximize and do it to the best of its ability. There are two main modalities that I use to encourage this. One is called Nutrient Energetics Provision, which is a system that is able to scan a person's energy field, map it into a program, a computer program, and show where the challenges are present in that person's energy field. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the person is having a physical experience, but it shows that there is a weakness that, if not addressed, it will eventually become an actual physical illness or health problem.
And I take it this weakness that's being addressed is being addressed on a physical, emotional, and spiritual level?
It's yes, it is, but it's being shown energetically.
Okay.
So it's being shown energetically, and one of the key components that helps to address the energy inconsistencies are energy drops, which are called infraceuticals, which a person would take on a daily basis to make the adjustments necessary, to the point where after about 3 or 4 scans, the person's energy field is pretty much where it needs to be. And then periodically the adjustments or scans are done just to see where they are because of our environment being the way it is.
Right. And Dr. Ali, can you explain to the listeners how our whole body and how our whole makeup is, as spiritual beings, is really based on energy?
It really is, because the physical body that we have is designed for us to be able to navigate this earth plane. But when our time here is done, for however way we choose it, we choose to exit, you notice we leave it behind, because it's really not the true essence of who we are. The true essence of who we are is spirit level, and it's a spirit energy. And that's the part that animates us and helps us to stay in connection with our true connection with the universe.
So would you say in the energy medicine that when we get out of harmony with our true essence, the energy medicine helps to reharmonize us and pull us back into our true nature?
Yes, it does. The other modality that I use that helps to assist this is also called body talk, the body talk system. And that also is a system that helps to resynchronize or reharmonize our bodies so that it's more in alignment with who we really are and how we're supposed to navigate while we are on this earth plane. Now, periodically, we need to be resynchronized, just like periodically you have your car tuned up. Because our environment is the way that it is, and there are toxins that we are exposed to on a regular basis, moment by moment, our bodies do a remarkable job in overcoming a lot of what we're confronted with, but it needs help because there are certain environmental factors that we just cannot control. So the two modalities that I really spend time with and focus on exclusively are those two modalities. My favorite is body talk, because I can actually have a person see results almost right away. And then as time goes on, you know, they will see improvements even further.
All right. Now, Dr. Ali, for our listeners who are not familiar with body talk, can you just let us know how body talk works and what someone would expect in a body talk session?
Okay, certainly. Body talk is a system that uses a person's own healing energies, and the body talk system has called that healing energy innate wisdom, or innate for short. It allows or helps that the innate wisdom of a person's body to produce the healing results and the sustained healing results that the person's body needs. The thing that's so unique is that me as a practitioner, I have been trained to be able to communicate with a person's innate wisdom, and it's such that I really don't even have to be present. I can connect with a person's healing wisdom or their innate wisdom, their healing energy, even from a distance, and assist their body into doing what it wants to do. And the beauty of it is that it's not my agenda. It's not me saying, well, I want this to happen, I want that to happen. I have a protocol that I use whereby I ask the body a series of questions to determine where it wants to go first, what areas it wants to address first. And it will address the areas first based on the needs of that person and not based on my needs or my desires or even the needs and desires of the person that they may think that they want to accomplish. The body knows what it can handle and will take me as a practitioner through the steps necessary to go to exactly where that person's body needs the appropriate healing.
So in essence, what you're saying is body talk will allow you to communicate with somebody's higher consciousness, and that you're getting the answers from their higher consciousness. So again, you're working on that spiritual level to work in the areas and in the time frame that higher conscious, or the priorities, as you say, that higher consciousness is asking for help in.
Body talk is a consciousness-based system. They refer to the higher consciousness as innate wisdom or the innate. So that's how you're going to hear me refer to it, because that's the language is part of the protocol of the body talk system. But it is a consciousness-based system. And it doesn't mean that the person has to be on a certain consciousness level. It means that the body knows what it needs, and it knows what it needs to do to get there. It just needs help from time to time to assist it to get there in an efficient manner.
Right. And the only reason I ask that question is because some people just refer to it as higher consciousness or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but in body talk, you refer to it as the innate. So people,
yes.
if you know, it's really both one and the same thing, and that's good. And now, what other areas, how does body talk address emotional areas and things of that nature?
There are, in asking the questions of the body, in asking the body certain areas where it needs help, if there is an emotional basis for a particular health challenge, and if that person is in a position where they are ready to address that emotional challenge by a series of questions, the body will take me right to it. For example, if a person has a fear of dogs and they've had an experience where they were, as a child, they were either bitten by a dog or was backed into a corner by dogs, and that sound or just the involvement of barking dogs really sets them into a position of fear. If they are in a place where they are ready to let that go, the body will take me to that area, and through a series of steps, we're able to bring that fear to the surface and then enable the person to release it. So that when they, after that experience, they will be able to be around dogs and even talk about dogs and not reenact that experience that triggered the fear in the first place.
This seems to be very powerful, and it seems to be very emotionally freeing, I would say.
Definitely, definitely. So that, but, you know, again, a person, it's based on what the person is able to handle and when the body is ready. Sometimes people say, you know, I really want to get over fear of flying. I really want to get over fear of flying. And that's all well and good, but there might be some intermediary steps that they may need to go through in order for them to get to that fear of flying. It may be just the whole idea of a new experience that may be the basis for a fear flying. It could be any number of things that
right.
That could be the cause, but the body will decide, yes, it's time, and this is how we're going to do it, and it tells me what to do.
And so what you're saying is it may take more than one session with you. It may take a few sessions, depending upon the nature of the problem.
Exactly. The good news is that when I'm working with a client and we have addressed the challenges that the body wants to work with at that particular time, I can ask the body how many sessions, when is the best time to come back, so that the person will know right then and there, and then I'm able to schedule their next session. It's not a one-size-fits-all where everyone's going to have two sessions, everyone's going to have three sessions, everyone will have four, and you got to come back every month. You know, it really depends on what the person's needs are. I've really not known. There's been maybe one or two cases that I've worked with where the person only needed one session from me because they were getting other types of energy work from someone else. So I was just, I was the support for the energy work that they were already getting.
Okay. And basically what you're saying is for every answer and every decision you make concerning that client, you're actually, in essence, getting the answers from their body. So there really is no guesswork. You're just listening to what their body is telling you.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, therefore, it keeps me and my personal ego out of it, where I'm not trying to figure out You need to do this, and I want you to do that. There might be some suggestions that I can provide, but I can also ask the body. Say, for example, if there is an herbal formula that I think the person would benefit from, it's not just me saying, here, you take this formula. It's me thinking, yes, this person may benefit from it, but then I can ask their body, is this particular formula appropriate for this person? And then ask, what's the recommendation on how this person should use this? So it's really the person's body, like you said, that's really making the decisions, and it leaves my personality, my guesswork out, and my ego, you know, because we all have egos. It leaves my ego out of it, and I really am listening to that person's body.
So I can't resist this. And in Western medicine, so many times we hear that the doctors have this God complex, and they are so absolute in what they are telling their patients. And what you're saying is completely the opposite. You're communicating with a patient's body, and that body is telling you what the patient wants and what the patient needs in this moment. And I just want to now then, you know, get into the topic of the day and apply this, because I think this is a great segue into that. So if we, the prevention of cancer through self-love, is as we start to love ourselves, we then start to change ourselves on a cellular level, and then we start to change our DNA. And I would just like you, Dr. Ali, to elaborate on that a little bit.
Certainly. I want to touch base on the comment you just made regarding mainstream doctors, and then we can segue into it. Mainstream doctors have been trained to listen to the patient in terms of what their most chronic or acute complaint can be. And for people, for us, you know, when there's pain, that's where we go. When we're experiencing some discomfort, we want relief from that, and that's where we tell the patient or we tell the doctor, relieve me of this pain. And that's kind of how they make their decisions in many instances as to what direction it will go. It doesn't necessarily get to the cause of the pain, but it's really focused a lot on the symptoms that take place. And that's kind of how the evolution of the mainstream medicine has become today, where it's trying to relieve certain symptoms that we as individuals go into the office and say, I want relief from. And so in terms of how this connects with cancer, many times when we are not feeling well, you know, we will go to the doctor and we will say, you know, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that, I'm feeling that, and I'm feeling that. And, you know, he or she will go through the steps as part of their training to address the symptoms. But then after a certain pattern begins to emerge, they will then take the steps necessary that they find to try to determine what the cause is or what the possible cause is. And many times after a series of tests, those potential symptoms will lead them to a diagnosis of cancer. Many times those early warning signs can be focused and addressed in a different way so that they don't escalate to the health challenge of cancer. And that's what my focus is with this, is that, you know, we need to love ourselves. We need to really make our health the primary focus of our everyday living. And it's not something we just do from time to time, but it's a lifestyle. and in loving ourselves, not in a narcissistic way where we think we are better than others, but understanding and knowing that while we navigate this earth plane, we only are given one body, one physical body, not any other, and that we need to provide it the best tools we possibly can give it so that we can make our time here as the best that it possibly can for as long as it is. So it's not only quantity in terms of years, but especially quality of life.
So would you agree with this or not? It's like the old adage, our body is our temple. And as we start to realize that we are energetic beings and get into our spiritual nature, the more that we clean out our body, the more that we keep our tempo pure. Is this what you're saying?
Yes, yes, I am. Our bodies are our temples, and it's very important that we take the necessary steps to do that. Many times people don't understand the spiritual nature of taking care of the temple. And if they're not there yet, that's okay, because ultimately, as they take care of their temple, they will get there. Even if they just understand that something as simple as having digestion every time, or indigestion rather, every time they eat certain foods or certain food combinations, by making changes in there, they'll have immediate feedback in terms of feeling better, regardless of where their consciousness levels are. And I wanted to really make this webinar for cancer love, or cellular love, preventing cancer through self-love, not so that it's focused on a particular group or that you have to have prerequisites to do it, but that it can be done and looked upon and incorporated by anyone who really has a desire to improve or maintain a certain quality of life.
Okay.
And when you have that desire, the spirit part automatically comes in place.
All right. And let me just say to our listeners, we are live. And if you want to ask Dr. Ali questions, you can call in to 718-766-4453. And my next question to you, Dr. Ali, is what does self-love look like to you? What would somebody experiencing self-love look like? If the listeners really don't know that and they really want to get a feeling what self-love would be.
Self-love would be knowing that there are certain things you just don't do to your body or do to yourself and expect a great outcome. We've been trained how to, we look at and seen commercials have talked about different ways of how we take care of our cars, how we take them to get checkups, take them, we change the oils, we wash them and give it a certain type of gas, and all of those steps in terms of, so that we can maximize the longevity of that vehicle and that we can utilize it as we go about our daily lives. Self-love is having that same mindset, that same thinking for ourselves, so that we are providing not only the appropriate nutrition that our bodies need, but the thought processes, exercise, you know, all of those things. And, you know, it's the thing that's surprising is that many times people kind of have an idea of what they need to do, but they may not understand what part of it works and how to make it into a nice package that works for them, and how some of the smallest things over time can really throw things off. So it's making the awareness that there are st- steps that we can take consistently to show that we truly love ourselves and that we are willing to do what it takes to have our bodies and have our lives in an optimal performing place. There are no shortcuts. If we do nothing, then things just fall downhill. It's something that we have to take proactively in order to have positive results come about.
Right. And I take it this is one of the things that you really go into detail on your webinar.
Yes, I do. I go into detail, yes.
Yeah, because I can imagine, you know, just from our emotional range and or emotional range, our flow, when we stop loving ourselves, we really cut off the chemicals, the healthy chemicals, the oxytocin, the love hormones, and things like that that really help to keep us balanced, keep us flowing, and keep us energized and that smile on our face.
Exactly. Now, you know, I really can't say that people consciously say, I am not going to love myself. I'm absolutely not going to love myself, and therefore they engage in a campaign of not loving themselves. I really have a hard time believing that people do that. I really think what happens more often is that people don't realize the patterns of things that come about that will lead ultimately to illness, and in this case, specifically cancer. First of all, people are very, very afraid to talk about cancer. They are afraid to look at it, think about it, especially in a proactive position, which is the focus that I'm giving in this webinar. You know, many times they take the position, well, if it happens, I'll just have to deal with it. What I want to be able to get across and to be able to share and teach people is that, first of all, let's hope that it never happens, that you're able to make the lifestyle adjustments and changes, if in fact that's needed, so that cancer never even enters your radar. But if in fact it does, it's far better to make an informed decision when you have the information and the knowledge than you can when you are in that position and you're making your decisions based solely on your emotions and your fears. You just can't make good decisions at that time.
Right. So when you start to talk about the word prevention and throw that in with self-love, you're really talking about a lifestyle to really change your behavior patterns and the way that you eat, the way that you think. One of my questions to you, because I've done a lot with wordsmithing and words,
mm-hmm.
and the law of attraction.
Right.
And so many times people hear the word cancer, they're worried about cancer, you know, they have this fear of cancer. What would be another word where we could use to talk about cancer, but not call it cancer?
You know what, Michael, that's a good question. I don't know at this time, I don't know of another word, because when a person has that diagnosis, that's the word that they hear. So I went with the word that people are more frequently accustomed to. But if you have suggestions on another word that can be used in place of cancer, that's something that's certainly worth exploring.
I know, because for me, when I went through this whole thing with diabetes,
mm-hmm.
you know, I didn't want to claim diabetes. And so I started to think of words to describe it, because I was doing a lot of speaking about my situation and what I went through. And what I came up with, instead of calling it diabetes, I called it sugar imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can, you know, figure out what's in imbalance in the cells and call it cellular imbalance. So the subconscious mind is still hearing balance as you start to work with that. Whereas, you know, when you hear cancer, you have all the connotations that go along with that word. So I always think it's nice to call whatever's going on in our body an imbalance. So the subconscious is still hearing balance. And so then as you work to heal, you then work to heal from a point of view of balance.
You know, that's a very good point, because when you look at the diagnoses of diabetes, cancer, so forth, it doesn't matter what it is. Mainstream medicine has to call it something, because it's given a code, and those codes are the things that are sent into insurance companies for payment. And without a code, doctors, hospitals, healthcare facilities aren't paid. So it's part of the industry to name it so that they can give it a code number so that they can bill for it. So this idea of renaming it, I think, is an excellent idea. Cancer in and of itself is really abnormal cells dividing without control. And
so
there might
really
be some wordsmithing that we can do in that.
It's really a cellular imbalance.
I guess, well, I'm hesitating only because cellular imbalances, it has really taken on a very generic term. And cellular imbalances can be sometimes can be resolved very quickly. But with this, the cellular imbalance is so advanced and so it's so acute that it's the cell division occurs without control. It's just uncontrollable. You know, our cells divide on a regular pattern as old cells are being replaced with new cells, or if there is an injury that occurs and our bodies need to heal that injury, cell division will occur just to take care of those maintenance things. But this is this abnormal cell division and is uncontrollable, and it happens very rapidly and very quickly, and in a way and in a pattern that a person really can't foresee. So I'm not sure how to be able to blend the two. So maybe you can help with that.
All right. As I said, I always like the word imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, the subconscious here is balance. And that's what you want your clients, that's what we want to get people to start talking about.
Yeah.
Because, again, you know, you hear cellular imbalance, and they're working on one thing from a different point of view than when you hear cancer. Your body's tightening up, and you know, automatically feel like it's some type of death sentence.
Yes, you do. And even when you know, when you come, as you're saying this and as I'm thinking about this even more, when you're coming from a place of cellular balance or imbalance, it really can take care of a lot of health challenges, not only cancer but other things that may be coming down the pike that a person is not aware of, where if they take the steps to balance themselves on a cellular level, it will address other health challenges such as heart disease or kidney disease or things like that that they'll hear when they go into the mainstream medicine field.
Right, and that's why I think one of the most powerful therapies is just sitting in front of a mirror and just repeating to yourself, looking at yourself in the mirror and just repeating, I love you. Because then you start to reprogram your cells, and you start to bring about that self-love and that self-awareness. I've heard of so many people having positive transformations just by doing that.
Exactly. I totally agree. Sometimes people have a difficult time even looking at themselves in the mirror let alone saying. They see, you know, let me brush my teeth, let me fix my hair. If it's a female, let me put on makeup. But they're looking at the outer self, but not really looking at themselves. And many times people just have a hard time doing that. But then taking the next step of saying, I love you, means, yes, I love me, I love you, with all of my imperfections, all of my flaws, and all of the things that I need to work on. It's not where we got to have these certain things in order to say, I love you. Okay, now I can do it because I've done this. Now I can say I love you because I've done that. That it's without all of those conditions, so to speak.
Yeah, love needs no adjectives and no adverbs. Love
mm-hmm.
is love, and everything that is beautiful is inherent in love.
Exactly.
So Dr. Ali, the next question I have for you, after somebody does this work and goes through your seminar, what does a whole, healthy spiritual being look like?
Oh, jeez. You know, it's something that we constantly work on, number one. And it's someone, okay, it is someone who has a true understanding of who they are in connection with the universe, accepting the fact that they are not perfect, but they're working towards a state of perfection, and that they are going to do whatever it takes to continue to maintain or work towards that state of perfection, as the universe, and some people refer to that universal force as God, as God partners with them to make sure that they are continuing to grow and evolve as to the best of their ability.
All right. And how would this person's energy look? How would their energy, what would their vitality look like?
They would be even keel. There would be like a lightness or brightness to their being. They would be one that would attract people, attract positive situations, as opposed to attracting things that are not as harmonious. And it doesn't mean that they're not going to have their challenges, because there's no escape for that. But there is that attraction of harmony with people and experiences that are a part of their everyday life.
Right. And I would take it their energy levels would be very high.
Yes. It doesn't mean, though, that they're jumping off the walls.
Right.
Because, you know, they don't have to be, like, buzzing and still have a high energy level. But one of the keys with that high energy level is being able to control it and have it manifest as needed and not waste it.
Right.
So, but yes, definitely a high energy level.
And without going into the details of your webinar, and your webinar is going to be on April 23rd at 9 p.m.
Yes, Monday, April 23rd, 9 p.m.
And people can find out about your webinar and information to register at your website, right?
Yes, that's correct. And my website is www.DrAliND.com. And if they go to the page that says events/webinar, they'll see the information, and they won't be able to register for it right from the website. If they have questions, they can always email me at info@drAliND.com, or they can call at 215-360-4000. 4110.
Okay. And again, this call is this radio show is live. If anyone would like to call in with any questions for Dr. Ali, the number is 718-766-4453. We would enjoy your questions. And just on a personal note or editorial note, I would highly recommend Dr. Ali's webinar. You know, I've known Dr. Ali for over a year now, and I know that you will get information that will be very vital for you changing your lifestyle, becoming more aware of things that are going to make you more positive, more spiritual, and really connect with your true nature. So I know the webinar would be good for families to listen to. It would be good for parents to sit down and listen to it with their children, because this is something that you will use the rest of your life. And so I always say, when you start kids out early with a very positive message, that message is going to carry through with them the rest of their lives. And this is a great service. So I would recommend this webinar very highly to all.
Thank you, Michael. And it's interesting that you emphasize the family involvement, because actually it was from my family that I went down this path. My mother had colon cancer, my father had lung cancer, and my husband had prostate cancer. And in my experiences in working with each one, because they each brought their own flavor to how they handled and adjusted to being diagnosed with cancer, as well as the specific type of cancer, because not all cancers are the same, and they don't all come from the same, have the same beginnings. Cancers really vary based on the thinking and the mindset of that person. For example, my mother had colon cancer. And, you know, the colon is the part of the body that eliminates waste. And my mother had a very hard time letting go of things that occurred and happened to her as a child. And she would frequently talk about them and bring them up and talk about them and bring them up. And it took a long time. I worked with her for a long time to help her to understand the connection. And she understood it, but there were certain things that she just had to heal from and forgive and to forgive. And because she did not let go of those hurts and those feelings from childhood, she did not eliminate them from her being, and therefore they linked in with her colon, and therefore the cancer became embedded in her colon. So with each one, each person that I worked with my family, you know, their stories are very unique in how cancer evolved in them. But the bottom line is that it really was fueled by a repetition of thought patterns, behaviors, fueled by in some instances a diet that was not as not the best. You know, they were very careful in my parents especially were very careful in providing their children with the appropriate diet. They may not have always followed it themselves. So it was very interesting how that dynamic played through. But it was because of my working with them that I really got to experience and see cancer up close firsthand. I think working with my husband, because he was very open to alternative and natural means of healing, we were able to really work and get 6 years of quality life that I think had he gone the mainstream method, I don't know that he would have gotten that. he certainly did not want to go mainstream. He was very adamant about that. But we just couldn't sit by and do nothing. So it really gained us 6 years of healing that took place. That was very, very important.
And also, you know, the point that just comes to my mind is that when families, people go through this healing together, it really increases the communications. It really increases the validation of the individual because each person has to listen to each other. And in essence, those two things really increase the intimacy. Do you want to talk on that a little bit?
You know what? You are so right. When working with my parents, you know, we found very early on that we had to step out of that parent-child role and really get into a person-to-person. And I had to, in many instances, initiate it because parents are going to just assume that role of being a parent. And I had to really have heart-to-heart conversations with them regarding what was going on and just the nature of how things evolved to that point. And it really brought a very closeness, and they shared certain things about their life, their thinking, things that I had no idea because they kept it to themselves and they kept it inside. For example, with my father, he developed lung cancer because of him breathing, you know, the lungs brings in the breath of life.
Right.
And when there is something going on with your breath of life, which we initially, you know, when we are born, our initial breath of life is linked to our mother. His mother passed when he was only 12 years old. So that link really made a difference in his whole thinking and thought patterns that he really wasn't even aware that were there. So we were able to bring these to the forefront. And that was in a time when I had an idea of what to do, but I really didn't know what I was doing. But I was just
right.
doing the best that I could with the tools that I had at that time. And it brought it, what it did, more than anything, it brought him a certain level of understanding and peace that he needed so that he would be able to live his life to a better level of quality. And then we were able to do some of the health things that were in place. So
right.
it really helped him a lot.
And you know what? So many times people really want to share who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how to do it, and so the intimacy of an illness really can bring them that point of validation and bring understanding to people who you know like a mother or a father. We all know our mother and father on a certain level, but like you said, there's these intimate details of growing up and what they went through, and sometimes. You know, sometimes they take off these masks and reveal this stuff, and other times they take it to the grave. So it's really a great honor and a great thing. So in this webinar, the communication skills that people are going to learn and bring out and overcoming their fear, because where there is fear, there can be no love. So when you replace that fear with love, then all of a sudden, you know, your whole another world opens to people of compassion, of harmony, of working together. And do you want to just speak on that a little bit?
You know, it's good that you're saying that, because one of the key things is that as I've worked not only with my close family members and especially with my husband, I had to listen and not get into a place of passing judgment, of saying, well, you should have done, you could have done. I had to put all of that aside and just really just listen and develop a bond from where they are, from where their experiences came from. And when we are able to do that with a level of compassion and keep all of the judgments of you shoulda, coulda, wouldas out of the picture, and letting the person know that they are that you're there to support them, it really helps to bring about a harmonizing and a blending of the healing that needs to take place.
And this is why I highly recommend the prevention of cancer through self-love with Dr. Ali on Monday night at April 23rd at 9 o'clock, because one of the most important things is as we start to develop our communication skills and as we start to let go of our fear, we're going to find out that there's this whole beautiful world waiting out there, waiting to open up to us. And you just have to make yourself available for it.
Exactly.
And again, I want to mention, you know, we're getting ready to wind down, but we still have about 9 minutes. So if anybody wants to call in, I would say call in now. The call-in number is 718-766-4453. And Dr. Ali, what do you want to say to our listeners that you haven't said already? What do you want to tell them? And it doesn't have to be about the seminar, but from your experience as a naturopath, what message would you want to give to a child, to your daughter, from your experience?
We are meant to enjoy this life. We are meant to have uplifting, loving, and fun experiences. And it doesn't mean that every experience is a carnival or every experience is a circus. There are going to be times when it's going to make you laugh. There are going to be times when you're going to have sadness. You're going to have times when you're going to have all the range of emotions that we are capable of having as humans. And, you know, we have those experiences, but it doesn't mean that we dwell there and that becomes our mantra. The basis for all of this is love. And when we love ourselves unconditionally, and I want to say that unconditionally in that not so much to put the condition, but loving ourselves as we are, knowing that we are in a place of continual improvement, including myself, because my working on me is a full-time job. So I actually have two full-time jobs, my practice and working on me, so that I can mm-hmm. be a better person for my practice, for my patients. But the ultimate goal is that we are intended to enjoy our life. And in spite of all of those outward things, the joy comes within. It's inside of us, and that's the thing that keeps us balanced, and that joy is attained through love. I don't know of attaining that joy any other way but through love.
That was beautifully said. And again, I say that, you know, I believe that love is the greatest healer. So that was just beautifully put. And do you want to tell people where your office is, how they can contact you, phone number?
And all the good stuff?
All the good stuff. So people can really reach out and touch you. I know that you give classes down in Philadelphia. You give a Sunday series. So, you know, let's encourage people to go to your website, come to the Sunday series, and as I said, you know, tell your friends and bring your family and start to bring your children at a young age and educate them too. And, you know, you bring your children, you're really going to be empowering your children.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't speak on that so much because children look to their parents for guidance. They look to their parents to lead them and show the way. And when they show the way about health and how to take care of yourself, it has repercussions throughout their whole lives. So the service that you're doing and you're providing for the community, you know, you cannot put a price on it.
Thank you, Michael. My office is located in Philadelphia, in the Manayunk section of Philadelphia on Main Street, and the exact address is on my website for those who may be listening and hearing this outside of Philadelphia. My website address is www.draliND.com. That's D-R-A-L-I-N as in naturopathic, D as in doctor, .com. DraliND.com. My email address is info@draliND.com. And my telephone number is 215-360-4110. And Michael, you're correct. I do have hold monthly workshops, and they're held every second Sunday at my office, at the office location. And in May, the featured speaker is a colleague of mine by the name of Shirley Wiggins, who will be focusing on digestion and enzymes, probiotics. So information will be posted on my website regarding that workshop once we have completed the webinar. However, the webinar is scheduled for this Monday, April 23rd at 9 p.m., and by going to my website, www.draliND.com, clicking on the events page, events/webinar, you will see an overview as well as the links that you will need to click that will take you to the place to register for the webinar.
Great. And I know Shirley Wiggins, the raw goddess, so I know that will be a very exciting class also.
Yes. Yes, really looking forward to it.
And I just want to share one of my Dr. Ali stories. I was actually watching the movie The Living Matrix and found out about the NES system, and I was like, calling the lady in the movie down in North Carolina to find out more about it. And Jacqueline and myself were having a conversation. And she says, I do that. I said, wow, you're into some powerful stuff. And that's what you will experience with Dr. Ali. You'll find out that she is very open-minded and has studied a lot of different healing modalities, so that when you go to see her, it's not just, you know, a cookie cutter approach and one modality fits all, but she sees you as a human being and then approaches you for from what modality fits your situation the most. And that is really, really, really a blessing. So in our last minute, what would you like to leave the listeners with?
What I do is my mission. This is the reason why God, this is all of what I went through in my life, all of the job trainings and experiences brought me to this point where this is my mission, this is my calling. And I feel very honored that I have the opportunity to service people and to serve people in their healing journey. And any part that I can do to help a person get better, I'm there. I'm there for you. I'm there to support you. And if it's not through me that you can get it, I encourage a person to go where they need to go to get what they need to get, so that healing is ultimately their goal and that it's achieved, because you can address and you can live life so abundantly when you have your health. And you can enjoy it and love when you have your health.
Thank you. That was beautifully stated. And I just want to say, again, thank you for coming on and sharing this time and sharing this information. in sharing your love with the listeners. So I give you a big hug for all that.
Thank you, and thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it. And we pulled this together at the last minute. It's really great, really great. Yeah,
no problem. And I just want to say this is Journey to Success Radio. You can go to journeytosuccess.com. I'm Michael Collins. You can go to my website, michaelrobincollins.com, and usheringinthegoldenage.com to find out more about me. Thank you, and I hope that you apply this information to your life and have a beautiful day. Take care. Until the next show. Bye. Hello?